Bible.
And it's like building your house on sand.
I'm afraid I have some bad news for you.
Not such a good thing. Instead, build your house on a solid rock of Jesus Christ.
A reminder from
96.6. The Radio Spirit FM.
Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly 60-minute expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live, for the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening, welcome to The Watchman, as we continue with our study of the things we've been talking about this past, period of time. And I would, just a few things here I would want to mention. First of all, the fact that, today we are continuing with our study of what we were talking about last time, a bit about the issues of the heart and stuff like that. So we are going to continue with that. But just before I get into that, maybe let me make just a few announcements. We had a good partners meeting last Thursday, and we quite a number of things happened at the partners meeting. We discussed how we are going to be moving, going up country, and And we are going to be carrying this message up country, starting with Mbarara and all those other places. So that's a bit of what we discussed at the partners meeting, as well as just having a cup of tea and thanking everybody for what role they have played in building this ministry. Because I remember our first partners meeting was just a few people, a handful of people, about five people. That was the first we had. The one that we had on Thursday was about 200 people. It could have been more. Actually, it should have been more, because we have 300 registered partners. Okay, admittedly, some of them are out of the country. Some of them are out of Kampala, rather. But still, it could have been a bit more. It was a very rainy day, by the way. But still, we had a wonderful partners meeting, and it went well. Now, on Friday, as I've told you before, we have overnights. Every single Friday, we have overnights. And so we'll continue with them on Friday, the day after tomorrow. Then we shall... I also need to tell you that our Facebook page is now being very active. Every Monday I write something, which is, I think, is topical at the time or important. So it's just something to warn people about some of the things happening. And so I wrote something on Monday, and it would be good if you went and liked the Facebook page, because then you would get to be notified every time there is new activity there. And the Facebook page is, if you want to get there, you just do www.facebook.com/UgandanWatchman. Then you'll get there. If you try to get there through your own page, through your own Facebook profile, it might be a bit difficult because there are so many watchmen. But if you go that way, then it becomes a lot easier. You just start a new thing and go watchman, facebook.com/UgandanWatchman. And get there. If you want to communicate in this to this ministry in any way possible, there are different ways of doing so. Email is one of them, ugandanwatchman@gmail.com. There are two numbers which we also use for mobile money in case you want to sow a seed, and the numbers are 0780-292-555, also 0755-292-555. So the MTN one is 0780-292-555. And the Airtel one is 0755-292-555. So you can get in touch with us through making an appointment to see myself or anybody else. Now let me go into the message I was teaching last time. I was talking about the heart and where it stands in you. And I was reading from Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23, which says, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow all the issues of life." And I told you that the heart is different from the mind, but it's part of the soul, the deepest part of the soul, the deepermost part of the soul. And the heart is different from the spirit and from all those. I explained to you a bit of what the heart actually is. And so today I'll be talking perhaps a bit about some of the things that affect the heart, what I would call diseases of the heart. The first one is bitterness, which results from unforgiveness. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." Then it says, "Nor give place to the devil." Now, I tell you this, one of the easiest ways that people give place to the devil is when they let the sun go down on their anger. And then, when you sleep over something that you're angry about, the following day, that anger turns into bitterness. And then bitterness, even in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 15, says can defile somebody and take him off the grace, make him fall from grace. Hebrews 12:15 says that. So, off the grace of God. Now you realize that so many things happen, so many people do things, and the root cause of it was something hurt her, something hurt him. They did not resolve that conflict well in their heart. So, as a result of it, it becomes bitterness. Okay? And then perhaps bitterness towards one person who cheated you, who took what belonged to you, who stole your boyfriend or girlfriend, who did all those things. Now, the thing is, those things happen to everybody. There is nobody, not everybody, but these are common occurrences, you understand. Somebody might cheat you, somebody might take what belongs to you, somebody might badmouth you, somebody might falsely accuse you of something you didn't do, and all those unfair things. It's not unique to you. However, the difference is some people will meditate on those things and they become bitter. First of all, bitter at the person who wronged them, but ultimately they become bitter at everybody. And they just become bitter people. And nobody wants to be around bitter people. Now, I gave you an example last time of, this lady, she's a good person, she's a jolly good fellow, she meets this guy, and the guy kind of likes her, and or rather, the guy asks her out, they date, he leaves her, then she becomes bitter at him, then, but you know, perhaps it was a mistake. God, now the thing is, God has something better for you if that happened to you, but the trouble is, God might send the right person, and you're still too bitter at the other person. You've become extremely bitter, very suspicious, untrusting, everything has to be probed, and so on. So the right person comes, and remember, he doesn't know your experiences. He doesn't know that the reason you're that is because there was somebody in the past. So he comes, sees you as you are, and says, this girl has issues, or, you know, this guy has issues. And then he or she moves on, because you did not resolve your issues properly. You did not resolve yourself properly. So there are so many people there who are still hanging on to things which hurt them, and these things happen to everybody. So, but the thing the Bible says, guard your heart, guard your heart. Don't let it get, don't over-meditate on it. Give yourself time to maybe grieve over it if you have to and all that. And so I've seen even people, okay, even things which are so, I know a lady whose life ended after she lost a son. She had, I think, 4 daughters. She was looking for a son, then she gave birth to a son. Then by some sad, you know, thing, the boy was electrocuted one day when he was playing outside when it had rained. And he was burnt basically to death by electric wires. Now that is really sad, you understand, extremely sad. But 5 years later, the woman's life had not moved on. Her life came to a standstill there. At that moment, bam. Now that is not what life is supposed to be. I mean, okay, that is as bad as it can get. But even then, somebody allows themselves time to, you know. And then after that, you collect yourself and say, you know what, now at some stage, something has to move on. Now eventually, she even lost her marriage because her husband waited for her to get over that. Her husband was also the father of the child. For him, he grieved and got over it. For her, she decided to remain in grieving mode. So eventually, she lost her family. Even the children who were alive, her daughters, lost their mom because the mom was mourning over their brother. And it just can't be right. So everybody has to learn how to guard their heart. Now, this is very important. Now, the other day, I was talking to some gentleman who was telling me that a story of some guy whose dream was to drive a car. He wanted to drive a car, and that was his dream. So he got his first job, he went and got a loan, went and bought a car, because that was his dream. Now, I'm not so sure he even knew how to drive the car well, so when he was driving it, he went and rammed it into a wall of one rich man who decided that he was going to extract every bit of retribution from this guy who had knocked his wall. So this gentleman ended up in prison because he couldn't pay back the wall. Now, he's probably lost his car, he's probably lost his job, he's probably lost his freedom, so he's in prison right now because the man says he can't come out of there until he has paid back everything. But this guy, who is supposed to be his friend, is telling the story, and he's laughing. And he's laughing and said, that guy is so stupid. How do you buy a car even before you do what? How do you want? I mean, he didn't even know what. Then he laughs. Then he said, but man, a guy must sit on you. And sometimes you find people like that are even born again. Eh? Okay, this particular one wasn't. But you find people like that are even born again. And you're thinking, what kind of heart do you have? I mean, what happened? How can you laugh at somebody's misery? I mean, do you even have a heart? Now, how does somebody get to that level where something terrible, a tragedy befalls somebody, they've knocked out, they are in prison, and you're laughing, and you're supposed to be their friend? Now, with friends like that, of course, nobody needs enemies. But this guy, because there are so many people who are like that, who probably was not happy, and it comes out of all these things, Maddie's what, so he probably wasn't happy that this guy has got a car anyway. So now when the whole story, which is supposed to be a good story, ends bad, then he's laughing. Now, that is a sign that somebody has a very bad heart. Now, if you're those kind of people who celebrate people's misery, by the way, you have a bad heart. And now that, unfortunately, people think that you can have a bad heart towards other people, and for you reap on the good. But the Bible does not teach that. It says, out of your heart flow all the issues of life to you and from you. What flows from you will flow to you, in this case. So if your heart is steeped in a way where you cannot even feel sorry for a friend of yours who has, on whom tragedy has, suffered something miserable, some tragedy, and you find it very funny that somebody knocked a wall and is in prison, and is supposed to be your friend. Then what kind? And I used to be in churches, and I see these things, and I see people who, somebody is born again, but you can see
they are full of bitterness, they are full of malice, they are full of, and all the backbiting and the rugambo is all as a result of having a bad heart. So when they hear something good, they celebrate it. When they hear somebody, a member of their church, something bad happened to it, to him or her, they are there to celebrate. I mean, they are just so happy that something bad happened to somebody. And they are supposed to be born again. Okay, they are born again. But the thing is, how did they get to that? How did they ever get to that? I mean, do they ever ask themselves, how does somebody get to that? Now, the Bible tells us very clearly in Ezekiel, that scripture is actually in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 to 27, that when God gives us, when we get born again, God gives us a heart, removes the heart of stone that we had and gives us a heart of flesh. A heart of flesh is one which is sensitive towards Him, which is, sensitive towards everything, which has first love, which is seeks after Him and all those things. Those are things that everybody has when they have just gotten born again, a heart which is sensitive towards other people. But then He gives you that heart which is fresh and which has the first love and is so excited about everything to do with God and all that. Then He tells you, guard it. Now guard it. I've given it to you. Now you have to guard it. Now it is your responsibility to guard your heart. Okay? Now, I'll give you an example. There's this friend of mine who grew up on the street. All he ever knew how to do was fend for himself. He's in the street, smoking all those things. He was really a street boy in every sense of the word. So he grows up and, of course, involved in every crime, as you would expect from somebody who grew up from in such a scenario. So now what happens at some stage of all this, the gentleman, one of his friends, one of his close friends, police raid them at one stage when they were not involved in any illicit crime, but police involves raids them, kills one of his friends who seemed to be very close to him. So this gentleman said he felt so sad that this friend of his had been, you know, killed in such a way, because at that time, although at other times he used to be doing other things, but that time he was not doing anything wrong, and at that moment he was killed wrongly. That doesn't mean he was a saint, but he wasn't doing anything wrong that time. So this gentleman was so unhappy about it, so they plotted that they are going to go to Katwe police station and at least find one policeman somewhere where nobody is seeing and stab the guy and kill him revenging for the death of their friend. Now, they plotted a date in which it was going to happen and how the whole thing was going to happen. Then something happened along the way. This gentleman who was the ringleader, the guy who was telling me all this, who is the ringleader, went somewhere and had some people singing and what, and went and found a crusade. Then he listened to what these people are saying, and somehow it touched his heart. Then the second day, then the third day. Then the day came when they were supposed to go and kill the policeman, and he could no longer do it. And he told his friends, you know what, I can't do it. I can't do it any longer. I don't know why. I just can't do it. So they told him, what's wrong with you? Are you fearing what? He said, no, I don't know. I'm not fearing, but I just can't do it. So when he was explaining to me much later, because now he's a pastor, he told me that Yesunga nafuiza. Now that's what has happened, because the other hard heart, which wanted to go and kill a policeman, Jesus had come secretly and removed it, and replaced it with a heart of flesh. Now this man is looking for that anger to go and kill. He can no longer find it. This new heart no longer has the ability to get angry and go and want to kill somebody. So he just told his friends, you know what? If you want to go, you go. I cannot go with you. I feel it's beyond me. So eventually the whole mission fell apart. Nobody was killed. No policeman was killed. But because the heart of stone had been removed out and replaced with the heart of flesh. Now, after that happens at that moment, then the Lord tells you, now guard your heart. Make sure you do not do things that are going to make your heart move from being good to being bad, because it started out as being good. So how does somebody who was once a nice person, okay, end up? You heard about this nurse in Mulago who was deliberately injecting every baby who was born. No, not Mulago, it was in Zambia Hospital. Deliberately injecting people, babies who are being born with HIV on purpose, just deliberately, just out of malice. So you see young babies, and this woman who is sick gets her own blood and injects it in the kid and makes sure the kid leaves the hospital. A young baby leaves the hospital with HIV, and this woman was doing it on purpose, until eventually some mother saw her, and the mother, she ended up in court and in the newspapers and all, and it turned out she had been doing it for a while. Now the question is this: how does somebody's heart become so black
that you can start infecting young children who are just beginning their life with HIV. I mean, you had a chance, you went and, okay, whatever befell you, but these are young children who are starting out. But somehow, people's hearts can be so hard towards anything that don't look at somebody like that and say, man, what, she's so evil. No. Before you get into that, understand that if your own heart is not guarded, and if you do not know how not to dwell on injustices, on bad things that happen to you, your heart can become like that as well. It is so easy. It's not that difficult, by the way. It isn't. It's not that difficult. But you see, you have to always be cautious that you keep your heart in love, so that you know, okay, this guy hurt me, but it happened yesterday, now I'm over it, life goes on. And even if you meet the same person, you're happy and what, you totally got over it. Now, when you learn how to do this, you can live a life of miracle. Because what flows out of you will eventually flow back to you. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow all the issues of life. Now, that's what the scripture says. So, I'm telling you, so bitterness, and which comes out of unresolved anger, on people meditating on offenses, on anger, on injustice, on betrayal, on lost relationships, on miseries, on losses, and all those things. All those things, meditating too much on them, leads to bitterness. And that bitterness becomes your tree, the nature of who you are. Even at the start, you are bitter at the person who caused it, but eventually you're bitter at everybody, and you become bitter, and everybody who meets you finds that you're bitter. The second one is competition. Now, competition, which leads to strife, which leads to jealousy, which leads to envy. Okay, the Bible says where there is strife, there is confusion and every evil thing. Okay, now that is what the Bible says in James chapter 3 and verse 14 to 18. Where there is strife, there is confusion and every evil thing. Now, people think this is a small matter, but you see, it says that this wisdom, if you look at that scripture in James chapter 3, it says that this wisdom, the wisdom of strife, the wisdom of competing with one person against the other, is not of God. It says it's firstly earthly. Now, why does it say earthly? It means firstly natural. It says it's natural, sensual, and demonic. And those are three stages of what starts as something. It says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against another. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Now, what does that mean? Earthly means it is natural, which means that if you're a pastor and somebody else has a bigger church, there is a natural tendency to get a bit jealous. It's just natural. You understand? It is actually carnal. You understand? If you're a spiritual person, it will not even show up in your spirit, in your heart, because you've overcome that. But if you're a carnal person, as most people are, then there is a tinge of jealousy. But there, if you keep it at that level where you just say, "Yeah, I wish," a bit of it. But now it goes to a level where it ceases to be. Here it says, if there is bitter envy. Bitter envy is different. Is what the translation here for bitter envy is something which is envy, which is deep envy, where you're totally envious of somebody, and then that wisdom starts as natural or earthly or carnal, okay, then moves to become sensual or soulish. That means it goes deeper when you dwell on it. Now, when it gets deeper, it gets to your heart. It started as a natural tendency. He, so-and-so, has a better figure than me. So-and-so is smaller than me. So-and-so is bigger than me. So-and-so has better shoes. So-and-so has a better job. You know those things, which are, natural and all those things. But if you dwell too much on it, then it becomes sensual, which means it goes to your heart, and it becomes soulish. Okay? Remember, I told you your heart is the deepermost part of your soul. Now, if you dwell more on it, and if it gets to your heart, then it becomes demonic. That's where the devil comes and takes control. That's why it says here in Ephesians that do not let the sun go down on your anger, neither give place to the devil. There is nothing that the devil uses like anger, which turns into bitterness, to turn people around. And now also competition. And unfortunately, these things exist in the kingdom of God, which there shouldn't be. Now, there is nothing I resolved never to do like compete with anybody. I resolved never to compete with anybody. I don't compete with anybody. I don't try to show that I'm better than anybody in any way whatsoever. Because I'm just doing what the Lord told me to do. If somebody is better than me, that is good. That is perfectly good. Now you see, we're on the same team. The kingdom of the devil operates on competition. Even witch doctors amongst themselves, when one witch doctor kills another witch doctor, he is raised in the kingdom of the devil. He gets more nyotas or more stripes in the kingdom of the devil by killing one of his colleagues, you understand? So that's how the devil does. Why does he do it that way? Because the devil does not like men. All men have the image of God, even those who are serving the devil, are created in the image of God. So he likes putting men against each other, then they start hammering each other, and for him he's sitting back laughing at them. And he thinks by extension laughing at God, that now you see here your guys, whom who you created in your image, they are here messing themselves up. Now, but, so his kingdom works on competition. But the kingdom of God does not work on competition. It works on brotherhood. It works on brotherhood. There is no good team that can win when the striker is competing with the defender and the goalkeeper is competing with the right back. It does not work like that. Everybody knows their position. Everybody stays in their position. And generally, by each one playing their position, the team wins. Now, when the goalkeeper is training, he's being trained by a different coach altogether, goalkeeping coach and what, and they train, he probably even trains separate from the other people. But if the goalkeeper does his work well, then the strikers who are also training separately win as a team because the goalkeeper did his job well. If the goalkeeper doesn't do his job well, the strikers can score, but the team will still lose. So it's just that simple. Now, the kingdom of God works on the basis of brotherhood, not on strife. Now, yet there are people who are in the, and they will always be there, who are in the church, whose expertise is creating strife. There are so many of them. Their expertise is to create strife. Now, they are here, even in the book of, even in the Bible. I'll read for you from John chapter 3 and verse 22. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now, remember, Jesus baptized, okay? Now, but actually, also it says it was his disciples who were baptizing, not him. But if they were baptizing, then so was he, because they were under him. Now, John was baptizing in Anion near Salim, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. So now here is a scenario. Jesus and John were cousins, okay? And John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. You remember that? Remember when Mary had conceived and she went to Mary, who was 6 months pregnant with John? So, that means that John the Baptist started his ministry 6 months earlier than Jesus, because all of them had to wait up to the age of 30, because that is when, according to the law, people were supposed to start service, okay, ministry. So, John the Baptist had already started his ministry, and by the time Jesus clocked 30 and began his own ministry, John the Baptist was already known. All the Pharisees and the whole of Judea and all the surrounding regions, everybody was coming to John the Baptist to be baptized. And he was in the wilderness and they were finding him there. And he was baptizing him there. In other words, he was already a big time preacher. Now Jesus was just starting. Jesus himself went to John the Baptist to be baptized. And it is John the Baptist who saw Jesus and knew that this is the Messiah. And it is John the Baptist who told people, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Nobody knew Jesus. Jesus was coming as just one of so many other people who were coming to be baptized by John. It is John, by the Holy Spirit, who pointed Jesus out and says, "This is the man of whom I told you that I baptize you in water, but you baptize in the Holy Spirit." So, John is the one who introduced Jesus Christ. Now, his disciples here are a bit envious for John. So, what do they say? Verse 25. And there arose a dispute among some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi," now they are talking about Jesus, "he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him." In other words, the man who was here in your church, who left to start another church, his church has now grown bigger than yours, and everybody is running towards him. In other words, this guy whom you trained, whom you coached, whom you gave a chance, has moved the other side and started his own thing, and now everybody is running towards him. Now, so many people have that moment. Everybody, by the way, will have that moment in their life when they have to stand up to somebody who comes and who is doing something else. Now, maturity is when you know how to handle it. And John the Baptist, and now that is a cold competition. If it was in these modern days, John the Baptist would, and they come and tell him now, Jesus, aren't you the one who introduced him here when nobody knew him? Now, as soon as you introduced him, he went to the other side. Now he has also started baptizing like you. So now instead of people coming to be baptized by you, they are going to him. Now if John the Baptist was a modern day church leader, okay, what does he do? He would turn around and start blasting Jesus. You know what? He's Illuminati and all that crap. Now, but what did John the Baptist say? And of course, all those things come out of envy. Almost all those things come out of envy. It's all envy, 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 envy. I have never seen anybody calling somebody who is below him Illuminati. It does not happen. They only call those who are above them. The day somebody calls somebody who is beneath him Illuminati, then I will know it's not out of envy. Anyway, so what did John the Baptist say? John answered and said, now verse 27, John chapter 3. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from above, from heaven. Then he said, you yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and bears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, in this my joy is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Now here is John the Baptist saying that Jesus would not have all that unless it was given to him from heaven. And I told you myself that I know what I came to do. I did not come to do something else. I came to be the person who prepares for the Messiah. Now the Messiah is in town. Now it is time for me to decrease and for him to increase. And why? Because my work was to prepare for him. Now he has arrived. Now therefore, my time on the stage is getting to an end. Now he has to come. Okay? Now it is his time. Now, what does Jesus say afterwards? Later on, he says, nobody born of a man is greater than John the Baptist. You see, you can be great by just doing your work. Now, if he was a modern day person, he starts competing with Jesus. Now why are people, I'm the one who baptized you, I'm the one who told people you're the Messiah. Now everybody is running to you and you get into that pettiness. Now that is the source of a lot of trouble in the church today. I can tell you a lot of trouble. Because people don't know that simple answer, nobody can receive anything unless it is given to them from heaven. And if it is given to them from heaven, who are you to start standing in the way of it? Anyhow, I wish that people would understand that the kingdom of the Lord works on the basis of brotherhood, okay, not on the basis of competition. And competition, once you get into strife, the Bible says, why do you have these things? Now, I've seen people who have studied the Bible and what, but the minute I see strife in you, that strife is the number one symptom of carnality. Strife, according to the Bible, not according to me. First John, he says, why do you still say I'm for John, I'm for Apollos, I'm for what? Are you not still babes? Can I speak to you as mature people? Because when somebody has that sense of strife in them, it is carnality 311. There is no way, there is no two ways about it. So until somebody gets to a point where they guard their heart from strife, from envy, from jealousy, from all those things, another sickness of the heart is revenge, which you know about. That sickness of the heart is hardness of heart. Hardness of heart is a very big subject, but I'll reduce it to a small thing here. And perhaps at a later stage, when I feel led, I talk about it. A hard heart is obstinate, is immovable, is non-repentant. It does not believe, and it is not touched by godly things. Things of the Spirit happen, and people do not. The Holy Spirit can move like whatever. And there are some people who will not be moved whatsoever because their hearts have been hardened towards that thing. You can choose what you have. And now, when something else happens, there are people whom I know who you take in a move of the Spirit, and he is so bored, but you take him to these preachers who are jumping on the floor, trying to emulate T.D. Jakes and what, then suddenly he's alive, because his heart has been hardened towards spiritual things, and he's soft towards, katemba, basically, a lot of katemba. And of course the church is full of katemba, people who think you know, godliness is in there, the English you speak and all those things, and how well you can coin phrases here and there, and, you know, impress people with your language, and, you know, and sentences which have pun, and which impress mostly semi-literate people and people who do not understand spiritual things. So you say, you know, your network determines your net worth, and now that sounds very powerful to people who don't, and it's just a coinage of English, okay, and so it's pure and simple, and but somehow because it has some kind of fun and some kind of rhythm, sounds rappish, people are impressed by it. Anyhow, you can but you see now, how do people who were once men of God and serving God end up actually serving the devil? And I know there are so many such who eventually end up real serving the devil. And I'm not just saying whatever, but real serving the devil. People who were once people of God, how do they end up there? Because they never guarded their heart. Because they never kept their heart soft and tender towards the word of the Lord. You know, the Lord speaks all the time. The Lord speaks, and his children understand his voice. They know his voice. For instance, I'll tell you, the Lord told me yesterday that I should go back to keeping my message based around the cardinal message that he gave me of end time and the Lord is coming soon, that sort of thing. Yesterday, I was just seated actually in my living room having breakfast, and then the Lord told me that don't deviate too much of the cardinal message of end time. So now I've decided after today we are going back to end time because the Lord said it. Now, the point is, I can decide to do what I want, okay, and not listen to what the Lord says. Then my heart will become hardened, slowly by slowly. Eventually, my heart becomes so separate from God, and I'm pursuing my own things. And I know people who started, I know people who are doing powerful things. But over a period of time, you listen to them, you see the things they are doing, and they cannot be moved by the word of God, not at all. They cannot even listen to a message and adjust their hearts accordingly, adjust themselves accordingly. I mean, if you can listen to a word of a preacher, like, let's say, like now, and you go and say, you know what, let me guard my heart because I listened and it said it, and you can adjust yourself, then thank God you still have a heart which is tender to God. There are some people who are totally unmoved by this. And one of the biggest symptoms of hardness of heart is, and which especially creeps into preachers, is when they are incapable of listening to other people, except to know what to go and preach to other people. They don't learn, they stop learning. That is the beginning of the hardness of heart. When people stop learning, before it gets anywhere else, they become totally unteachable. And even when they listen to get what they are going to teach other people, not listen to learn. And those are very, you know, that is, now if they are young people, there are so many young people listening to this program, I know, in universities and all. If you're aspiring to be a preacher, don't ever teach something that is not true in your own life. If you learn a message, first make it a reality in your life, first become that message, first live that message, first see its fruits in you before you ever go and teach it to anybody else. Because if you start teaching messages which are not true for you, if you start telling people to give when you are stingy, if you start telling people to guard their hearts when you are envious and jealous and, you know, bitter and all those things, I'm just giving examples, then you are never going to move away from that position. The people whom you're telling might change, and they might go and become better than you, and eventually they will leave you because they realize they are better than you. Okay? But for you, remain the same, and you'll wonder why you're not moving. Don't ever learn how to. If you listen to a message, let's say, I know a preacher, you know, who somehow somebody took him for him in Kenya, in Nairobi, someone took for him my sowing and reaping messages, and the guy heard them, and the next day he was preaching those principles, of course, with a lot of, you know, he's a lot more eloquent than I am, and, you know, and he has a lot more deliverance, if you know, people who are, you know, flamboyant and all. So he was preaching them with a lot more flamboyance than I ever did, but he had not even understood it, he had not even known it, and he's still stingy, and is what he, as in the, for him, they are only important. as he's just a messenger, he's just a carrier. He's like a boat which carries people from one shore to the next, but it always stays in the water. It never leaves the water. Now, if you don't know how to learn and not to teach anything unless you have made it a reality in your life, you'll become like a boat or like a signpost which shows people where to go, but it never gets there. It shows people that this is the road to Jinja, but it always stays in Kampala. It has never been to Jinja. Now, you'll be showing people that this is how to prosper, this is how to prosper, but you're broke because you're passing on messages which are not true in your life. Anyhow, but how does that come? How do people get to the point where they, you know, how does it come to that, where somebody who started out so well ends up like that? Because they did not guard their heart. So now, remember this. Hardness, hard hearts are full of rebellion, of pride, of resistance to authority. I've seen people in churches who cannot succumb to any form of authority. He's in a church, he cannot listen to the pastor. Now, why are you in the church if you can't listen to the pastor? The pastor is the head of the ministry. If you cannot listen, you leave. As long as you're there, I don't understand these things. But you see, when somebody has a hard heart, he will be there to oppose everything the man of God is saying. And he is your leader. And let me tell you, you will not go any further spiritually unless you learn how to acknowledge people who are above you in the spirit. It's just that simple. Full of resistance to authority. And it starts with even the simple men of God, but eventually that resistance to authority extends to God. Full of unbelief, insensitive to God, and things like that. So if you're still moved by the plight of people, by the way, have you seen these people who are, somebody who is in the tourism business told me that I was moving with him. Then I don't remember the scenario where I think I gave some street boy some money. And then he said, don't give those people money. I told him why. He said, because when they stay on the streets, then they disturb tourists. When tourists are coming, they are disturbing them. And it's not good because they are disturbing tourists. I looked at him and said, man, how does it come to this? How does it ever come to this? That you're looking at a young boy of 4 years, a 4 or 3 year old, or sometimes 2 year old, okay, who looks hungry and tired and haggard, and all you're thinking about is the tourists. Really? I mean, don't you have children of your... What lottery did you win for you to have children who are staying in warm houses and warm blankets, and for these people who are out on the street cold like that? Can't you even be touched by their plight? But you see, when people don't understand at what stage their hearts become hard. So this guy comes and starts touching your car, you know, with his dirty hands, and you know their hands can really be dirty, and you've probably just washed your car. And he's just a 2 or 3 year old, and he comes and starts touching your windscreen with his hands. And now, I mean, I can't get angry at that. He's a child. Even my own child would do that if he was 3 years old. I mean, how do you get angry at a 3 year old child just because he's a street kid? You think he thinks mature because he's a street kid, any maturer than your own child? How do I get angry? I'll just go and wash the car again. I mean, how can a car be more important in my mind? A piece of metal be more important than a human being who was created in the image of God? I will never let something like that happen. Nothing. He is a human being. I will look at them. I might not do a lot because perhaps God has not commissioned me to, but I'll always look at them with the eyes of empathy and say, man, look at those children. But you know, some people's hearts are so hardened towards them. And okay, I'm not saying it's perhaps against the law even to give them money, so I'm not saying you go and do it. But then again, I'm not saying you don't do it. The point is, sometimes you just feel bad looking at those people. And if you still do, then thank God, because your heart has not yet been hardened. Some people have lost that ability. They moved on. They don't want things that disturb them. Anyhow, so you keep your heart soft by meditating on good things. There's a reason the Bible says meditate on good things. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are noble, and all those things, meditate on those things. Just understand that the things which happen to you happen to everybody. And just know that if you have a bad heart, there's a situation talked about in the book of Jeremiah. Let me read there. I'd promise actually to talk about something else today, but this is a very important subject, because it is so sad when you see people who are born again and they are the ones who are the most bitter, they will tell you that lady is born again, but you go there and ask for your help, she will blow you to pieces. And man, you'd rather deal with somebody who is not born again. But how do people get to that? Is that the way it is supposed to be? No, it isn't. But you see, because maybe somebody annoyed, maybe somebody hurt her, maybe what, all things which happen to other people. But she did not guard her heart, or he did not guard his heart. Now it's just, and don't let these things, learn, put, let your heart be set out to love. Set your heart out to love, you know, so that somebody annoys you, you say, no, I love this person, I'm not going to do that to them. And sometimes you have to do practical things when you feel yourself becoming jealous of somebody. Now, the day I feel myself becoming jealous or angry or all those things, I'll make it a point, let's say, if it is like a preacher, I'll go and sow a seed in him, just so that I do not let myself go there. I do practical things. Remember Jesus said, somebody slaps you, turn the other cheek? The point is, if your enemy is, hungry, feed him, give him food to eat. That's the wisdom of the Lord. If somebody comes and angers me and I see it really hurt me and it is threatening to linger in my mind long enough that it gets to my heart, I will go the next day and tell him, so and so, can I buy you lunch? So that I take him or her out and I completely give no space to the enemy. By the time we are through with that lunch and I pay for it, I have done something positive which is going to take away that feeling that I would have developed, and I've finished it. I'll make sure it does not last in my heart, because I don't want to become a bitter person, because out of it flow the issues of life. Now I'm reading from Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5 to 6. Listen to what it says. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Whose heart departs from the what? From the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert. You know those shrubs in the desert which grow in places which have no water whatsoever? Now, so somebody is growing in a desert, in a place which has no water. And says, and he shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Now that is somebody whose heart has departed from the Lord, whose heart has departed from love. Okay? He shall not see when good comes. Good comes and he does not even see it, because his heart is full of bad. So somebody comes and is offering to help you. He says, can I help you with this? And for you, you're just seeing a thief, because your heart is messed up. Okay? Or somebody comes and says, I give you an example. I've had colleagues of mine who, he goes to a restaurant, he eats food, then he leaves the waitress a very big tip. Because, we are prosperous people, so we can give big tips. Then she thinks he is trying to befriend her. Then she becomes hostile. No, I'm not like that. You think you can buy me with your money? Hey, calm down. The guy is just blessing you. But you see, because your heart is messed up and you're thinking messed up things, then you even good comes to you. Somebody is just blessing you. He doesn't want anything from you. He's just blessing you. But you cannot receive it because your heart is messed up, because you did not guard your heart. Now, some people even have dreams which have all sorts of things. And because their hearts are messed up, they cannot get the true interpretation of dreams. Some people have dreams which have sexual connotations now, and they think that it's an evil dream just because it involved sex. But you see, sex in a dream does not necessarily mean sex, and does not necessarily mean there is something wrong whatsoever. You know, it doesn't at all mean anything wrong. Now, let me tell you this, because it's going to help you, some of you who have been dreaming these things, because you are not going to make God see sex the way you see it. Just because for you your heart is messed up doesn't mean God is going to see it like that. For him, it is pure the way he made it from the beginning. Now, if you've messed it up in your heart, those are your businesses. Now, remember, there is a lady who used to work somewhere where I used to go often. And so she would come and tell me, she knows that I'm a man of God. So she would come and tell me, why am I sowing and I'm not receiving? I'm sowing money, I'm not receiving. Of course, you know that I have the answer to that. And I knew that she was sowing in wrong ground and all that. But I didn't think she was ready to receive what I was telling her. And I knew she was associating with a place which does not have prosperity. In other words, she was going to a wrong place. But I didn't want to tell her that, because I didn't think she was ready to receive it. So I just kept on telling her, keep on praying about it, pray about it, pray about it. Now, one morning, I dreamt in the dream, that same lady is standing naked and inviting me to come and have sex with her and telling me that, I am ready for you now. I'm ready for you right now. So I woke up in the morning and I said, what's the meaning of this dream? I had a clue, but I just let it pass. Now, that afternoon, I went to that place because I used to go there usually to do some of my writing and all. I went there and then I see her coming from a distance. Then I remembered the dream. Then I realized the dream meant that she's ready to receive my message, the answer to the question she's been asking. Now, in the dream, it was portrayed as sexual, but it wasn't that. I mean, she's a married woman, and it wasn't anything like that whatsoever. But somehow, it came in that form. Now, some of you have been having dreams which come in that form, and you bulk away from them. You almost shy away from them. What does this mean? What does this mean? And it actually has a good meaning. And now, when she came to me, I told her, now, here is why you're not receiving. So I gave her all the reasons, and she received them. She was ready for it, as the dream said. She received them well and said, I knew it. I suspected that it was because of that. What? And she told me, now, where do you suggest? Where do I sew? So I directed her to a place where I think she should sew, which is not with me. I directed her somewhere else and told her, you know, I think you should go and sew there because I think you'll get, you know, a harvest and things like that. So now, because somebody's mind is fake, even you get a dream which has a very, very good meaning, but it has a sexual connotation, but because your mind is messed up, you don't know, you dismiss the dream because you're seeing it in that angle. Yet it actually has nothing to do with that. You understand what I'm saying? Now, that in the spirit, sex is not the way you look at it in the natural. In the natural, it's messed up and what, and that's how your heart is. But the point is that those people whose heart has departed from God will not know when good comes to them. In other words, good will come, but it will pass you by. Somebody whom God has sent you passes you by because your heart has departed from goodness. Okay? You've suffered 3 heartbreaks, then God sends you the right person who would make you happy. But because you've not guarded your heart, you do not notice when good comes to you. Remember, that's exactly what the Bible says. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 6. It says, and shall not see when good comes. So this guy who is coming to you asking you out for coffee is actually God sent, and is going to sort all your relationship problems, and he's going to be the right guy, and he's sent by God. But you can't see him. You can't see the blessing of God. You can't see anything positive because your heart is so full of negative, and out of it flow all the issues of life. Your heart is so full of negative things that even the people who are good come and you can't see them. So you'll blast him, tell him, I know you guys, you're what? I know what you are. Don't think I'm a fool. What? Then the guy looks at you and says, calm down. I'm here because I love you. No. Don't tell me those things of love. What? Don't come down. After 1, 2, 3, or 4, 5 times, the guy says, you know what? This person has issues. I'm out of here. And then you missed your chance. You can't see good because it comes. Now, learn how to set your heart up for good, for love. Okay, how anything that does not spring from love does not spring from God. Listen to this. Why do you think previously I met people who had a good prophetic gift, but they messed themselves up and became very judgmental and everybody ran away from them? Why do you think people feared prophets and ran away from prophets? Because some of those people had bad hearts. So they are spewing, and you cannot give anything better than what is in your heart. So they are spewing katua because there is katua in their heart. And yet actually they probably had a gift. Okay, a gift in that area. But because their heart is messed up, they are spewing what is in their heart. So, you go to somebody, and remember, the Bible says, everything works by love. Faith works by love. Galatians 6:5. Faith worketh by love. Spiritual gifts work by love. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about spiritual gifts, and then he says, but let me show you a better way. A better way. How is the better way? If, then he talks about love. 1 Corinthians 13, you know that thing. Okay? 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Then he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And now remember, it says, though I have a gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and acknowledge and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains, but have not love, I have nothing. Everything works by love. So if you do not guard your heart and prepare to love people. Love people. Love even when they make mistakes. Love people. That is, love is God. You are your most godly when you are loving people. But remember, even why do you think even some people give and they do not receive? You can, prosperity works by love. Prosperity works by love. Without love, you will give, you receive. Because what comes to you has only got to be what is in your heart. What is in accordance with what is in your heart. Now, people, one lady came to me one day at a church and told me that I don't know what's wrong with me. Everywhere I pass, when people are there doing, they start, you know, whistling at me and kusia and all those things, and you know, and then some of them, if I'm even near, they even tap her backside and what. Why do they do it only me and not other people? I said, it's in your heart. Watch what's in your heart. Why don't they do it to other people? You can set your heart in a way where people know that this is a nice person. This person, you can trust them with your secrets. This is somebody whom you can talk to because they can see you have a good heart. And you can set your heart out if you're a lady so that people know that this woman is not for playing games. I remember a workplace where I was, where there was this one girl, and there are so many players around, but there was this one girl whom no player dared go out to because she had set her heart, and not that she blasted anybody, or not that she was a rude person, she was actually a gentle person, and a gentle and nice person, but not a single player dared ask her out because she had set her heart in a way where everybody could see from a distance and know that this person is not for playing games. Now, the first man who went and asked her out was serious, and they got married. Okay? So now, you've set your heart out, and men can see from a distance that this woman is there to be played around with. So then, everyone who comes wants to ask you out. And then you wonder why. It's because that's what's in your heart. You cannot dodge what's in your heart. So set your heart out to love, to be somebody who receives good things. You can set your heart out to favor by sowing favor, getting rid of malice. Get rid of all sorts of malice. When something good happens to somebody, celebrate with them. Then when something good, then you'll set your heart to receive favor because you're celebrating when other things happen to other people. I mean, and all those things. Even prosperity works by love. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 13:3. And even if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, And though I give my body to be burned, but I do not have love, it profits me nothing. So if you are the kind of person who has been sowing seed, and you're sowing seed, and you've not set your heart out to love, you've not guarded your heart from, it says here it profits you nothing. Faith works by love, spiritual gifts work by love, prosperity works by love, prophecy works by love. Everything works by love. You cannot survive love. If you want to walk with God, learn how to walk in love. Learn how to walk in love. Love people. Don't, you know, how do you love people? Love people by looking at them the way God looks at them. Love people by wishing the best for them. Love people by having no malice, no envy, no jealousy, no any such thing towards them. Love people by celebrating when good things happen to them. The Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. So if something bad happens to somebody and for you you're rejoicing, then your heart is messed up. You have not guarded your heart. But if you find somebody who has, on whom tragedy has befallen, and you mourn with them and you be a part of them, that is love. Walk in love and set your heart out in that form. Then you will see the dividends of it. You will receive love, you will receive favor, you will receive a harvest for every seed you sow. It's just a wonderful life to live, the life of love. The reason you backbite people is because there is no love. You don't wish them well. Now, if somebody comes and tells you a secret and you go and tell it to everybody else, that is not walking in love, because you know that person does not want other people to know, and they told you in confidence. But because you have not love, you're a leaking basket. Nobody can trust you with anything, and you're just there. You really are. No one wants to come and tell you any secret. So I wish I've made this point clear enough for you today, that learn how to set your heart out to have neither of these things. No envy, no competition, no bitterness, no revenge, no all those things. Forgive immediately. Forgive instantly. The minute something happens to you, forgive it instantly. Don't even give it a minute. If somebody hurts you, forgive him immediately. Even say it, I've forgiven you, until you forgive the person. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. If you are married and your husband annoys you or your wife annoys you, make sure you do not, if married people, now I'm ending with this, make sure you resolve that conflict before you go to sleep. Because the devil will give you a view of your husband or your wife at night.
if you have not resolved that conflict. Just make sure every time you go to bed, you sit and say, now listen, you annoyed me, you did this and this, and resolve it, and then go to sleep well. If you don't, you wake up in the next day, and you still, now the anger has turned to bitterness. Now the whole day you're bitter because your husband annoyed you yesterday. Now by the evening, your bitterness has gone up a notch, and then your marriage can get messed up so easily, yet it could have all ended by simply resolving it before you go to bed. Now I have to stop here for today. Guard your heart with all diligence, out of it flow issues of life. If you want to, sow a seed towards this ministry, I'll give you those numbers again. The numbers are 0780-292-555. And by the way, we are going out to up country, so please make sure that you actually sow a seed towards our upcountry mission. I guarantee you that is very good ground. That is very fertile ground. So towards our upcountry missions, I've been waiting a long time for this until I got the clearance from the Lord to do it. So sow a special seed, if you will, for upcountry missions. The number is 0780-292-555 or 0755-292-555. Make sure to visit our Facebook page if you can and like it. Thank you very much. God bless you.
We trust you are learning how the Bible prophecy puzzle comes alive and fits perfectly into contemporary news and events. Make a Dent with the Watchman every Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m. only on Spirit FM 96.6.